young man's name is Lanny McInnes. He went with Harold and Anna to the Ukraine recently, and he has so much to relate to us. And I'm sure that we'll be interested to hear of the experiences that he had while in the company of Harold and Anna. But you know, there's something else about this relationship. When we think of Harold, he was a man of 81 years. And when we look at Lenny, we see a young man in his prime, about 21 years old. It's wonderful to think of a person of that age taking an interest in a young man of 21 years. But it's also wonderful to think that a young man of 21 years would look up to an older man, to learn from him, to listen to what he had to teach him, and to be guided and led in the way that only Harold Simon could have done it. It's a wonderful experience, and I'm sure Lenny has much to say to us regarding his trip to the Ukraine. So come on, Lenny, and tell us all about it.
Thank you for that introduction. Okay, before I speak, I'd just like to ask the Lord to speak through me. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity to share with the brothers and sisters here. And Lord, may it be your word spoken, not mine. Lord, may you increase. And Lord, may I be nothing. For it is only your words that matter, Lord. Lord, please speak through me now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just bear with me as I charge up some pictures. Okay, as you've heard, my name is Lenny McInnes, and I'm actually 20 years old, not yet 21. It is coming, the day is coming, and I'm looking forward to it. But and yes, the Lord has used us, the team who went to the Ukraine, in many ways. And actually, Anna has just slipped in, Harold's wife, Anna, and also of 80 or 81 years of age, and quite an unlikely team we were, but used by the Lord nonetheless. I'm from local around here. I live in Slash Creek. I attend my home church is Kingston Community Church, where we worship at Groves Christian College, if anyone is familiar with that church. It's only 3 years old, very new, very enthusiastic, very evangelical. Very fantastic. And I'm a university student. I believe the Lord has me there, training me, equipping me with tools that He can use later on in my life, and now also. I'm studying engineering, mechanical engineering, and although this is very interesting to me, I find the further I go, the more I study, the less motivated I am to work as an engineer. I believe I will work for some time as an engineer, but look forward to God's will and finding out what He has planned for me, where He's going to have me working, so wherever it may be. Now I'd like to talk a bit about Harold. Now Harold, for those of you who have met Harold, I'm sure you're blessed by his contribution to your life, and I certainly was too. Harold was a very deep thinker, very introverted type. Although I did not know him as well as I would have liked, and now that he has passed, I really do not feel sad for him going home, but we'll miss fellowship with him, and we'll miss learning of him, as he has much life experience that I would greatly like to learn from. But Harold and Anna have been working in a ministry called the Carpathian Ukraine Aid Society. Now, Anna is from the Ukraine, from the area we visited, and speaks the language fluently. And Harold and Anna have been sending aid to this part of the Ukraine and the Soviet Union, or the former Soviet Union, for 20 years or more, I believe. Since communism has been broken down, Harold and Anna have been able to visit the brothers and sisters that they send aid to, and to be able to encourage and to evangelize in the Ukraine. And now that, I think, was it four trips, Anna, that you have done previously? Now this being the fourth or fifth, Harold just felt led to go back, called by the Lord to continue the ministry. But his idea was to take a team of workers, to get 10 men doing the work instead of one man doing the work of 10. And so I was but one of the team. In the end, there was a team of 5 of us, Harold, Anna, myself, and 2 other older gentlemen, Lloyd Dunlop and Arthur McDonald, both from Queensland here as well. And, now Harold's vision, his vision for going back to the Ukraine, his vision was to evangelize and to expound the word of God. Also, to spy out the land for future ministry. So these were the motives we had for going. These were our goals to see on this trip. Now, this is the team. As you see, myself, Harold, Anna, Lloyd and Arthur, and these are 2 lovely ladies, Madeline and Hannah, and they are friends of Harold and Anna. They live in Switzerland, and we visited them as we went through Switzerland on the way to the Ukraine. Okay, here we are. This is the Ukraine. Kiev is the capital. From about here to the east is all Russia, for 9,000 kilometres, big place, and the rest of Eastern Europe is around here, Moldova, Romania, Poland, Belarus, etc. Now, where we were working, where Anna is from, is near this town of Uzhgorod. It's actually this province, or oblast, called Zakarpattia Oblast. And we stayed in this town, Uzhgorod, and a few other towns, Mokhechevo and Tura Bistra, and staying with the pastors of the unregistered church. Now, the particular village that Harold had envisaged and was convicted to evangelize is the village where Anna grew up, called Latika and Belosovica. And these two villages are about 2 hours' drive from Uzhgorod on the rough Ukrainian roads. And so we spent a lot of time there, and you'll see photos later of this. Okay, here we are. This is in the town of Uzhgorod. This is Igor Tsuman. He was the pastor of the local church there. And this is actually just a youth activity. We were just one day went for youth activity, and all it was, in a nutshell, is street preaching. This is the hospital, one of the local hospitals. So we just sat on the steps and praised our Lord and gave testimonies and shared from the Word. Fantastic. Okay, and this is the audience in this particular instance. Now, this is just the people who were patients at the hospital and just sitting around the gardens here. And we started preaching, and people just sort of cock an ear sideways and start listening, tune an ear in. And gradually they migrate closer. And as they get a bit more comfortable, they walk a few steps forward, sit down again, or stay there for a bit. Until you have a congregation here sitting listening. Fantastic. And these are people we've never met before, people we've never seen before. And along with the brethren, the brothers of the churches we were working with, we preached the gospel to these folk. And how awesome it was. And Ecclesiastes 3:11 talks about how God has put eternity in the hearts of all men. Now, God has designed us, He's created us with eternity in our hearts. And nothing can fill that eternal part of us except an eternal God. Only God is eternal. God is from eternity. And this is now at the end of the meeting, giving out scriptures, scriptural tracts, gospels, and New Testaments, and the people eagerly accepting. No, everything was in Russian. Very few people speak English. There is a few, but very, very precious few. We had to speak through interpreters. This fellow here, Andreas, he was one of our interpreters. He's actually a coordinator of Emmaus Bible Studies in Russia. He's a German fellow, but speaks fluent English and Russian also. And he was a blessing to us there. Okay. And one thing that I could not help but noticing, sitting on the steps here, listening to the preaching and participating myself, I could not help but noticing, I could not help but think, that if I was in Australia and we were doing this, we were standing here, sitting here, and speaking of God's word and singing and praising Him, wouldn't people be walking around us thinking we were religious fanatics? Is that right? But here, what we did, people listening and intently, sometimes 2 hours we go for, three. Awesome. And I just sort of noticed that people's hunger for God, for the gospel, for Jesus Christ, for a saviour, seems to be inversely proportional to the monetary possessions they have. Not only that, it seems that it's different for all cultures. Here, people try to stuff the eternal void within them with things of this world, but it doesn't work. It doesn't fit. It doesn't satisfy. Only God is perfect. Only God is eternal. I mean, as we've been hearing in Thailand, what they do there, they try and fulfill themselves out with, you know, get away from the Dharma, etc. But we know it's only Christ, only Christ Jesus who can fulfill us. This is another instance. We were street preaching, essentially. This is the village of Latika, where Anna grew up. And once again, with the brothers of the church we were working with, and brothers and sisters, we expounded the word of God. We preached Christ crucified. Fantastic. Once again, people would just mill around, maybe be over here in the, you know, far off, and just start listening to what we had to say. And gradually, slowly, they would just walk a bit closer, until here we have an audience. And this particular time, we had possibly 40 people listening by the end of it, and we preached well into the night. It was well and truly dark by the time we finished. Mm-hmm. By the time we finished answering questions and giving out Gospels and New Testaments. And here it is. The young man receiving the Gospel. And it's like light. It's like light in the darkness. Because 98 or 99% of the Russian and Ukrainian people are bound by the Orthodox Church. Now, the Orthodox Church, I don't know how much of the Bible they would even read. It seems to me, to my impression, that they've just jumped onto the bandwagon since communism's gone down. Someone's got to control the people, so the Orthodox Church does. And they just control with a fear of death and hell, and fear that the They control with the fear that the priests won't pray over you when you die and send you to heaven. Completely contradictory to the scriptures. Now, and people coming out of communism like this, all they've known all their lives is control and fear. Even with the Orthodox Church, it's not much different. It doesn't seem to be much different. But when they hear the gospel, it's freedom. It's the power of the Lord. It's forgiveness for sins. And how it is a blessing to them. It's really touched them. So, set your eyes on the mission field. This is the theme for tonight. Where is the mission field? Now I say to anyone, who's your neighbour? Who did Christ say his neighbour was? When asked the same question, he told a story of a Samaritan and a Levite walking past a man who had been robbed for his money, and it was not the Samaritan who was also a Jew, but the Levite who was also a Jew, but the Samaritan who was not terribly liked, who gave his own time and money to care for this man. So, who is our neighbour? Anywhere there is people is a mission field. Be it here, be it in Russia, be it in Papua New Guinea. Be it your very next door neighbour. Another interesting thing that I took note of was in Russian they have separate words for the church building and for the church, the people, the body of Christ. Now, this word, tserkov, means the church, the body of Christ. It has nothing to do with the building. It is Christ. It is in Christ. We are brothers in Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ in the inheritance of God. It has nothing to do with a building or a place. And this is a common church. Maybe 50, 60 people, and they would listen to us as long as we would talk. It was very refreshing. Now this is, Domolitvy is the word for the church building, which means a house of prayer, literally prayer house. And it really struck me that here we, the common mindset, particularly of young people today, myself associating with young people lots and lots, it seems that the church is just a boring place where old people go to do what they don't really know. It's people don't really know. My generation have not gone to Sunday school. They don't know what church is. They don't know who Christ is. It's very sad. But in Russia, they have a very clear distinction between the church, the body of Christ, the body of Christian believers, brothers, and the church building, which is just a place where they can fellowship and worship. Now, I'd like to conclude on telling you a bit about this man, Harold Simmons. Now, Harold was so led to go over at 81 years old, failing health, had a heart condition, fairly frail. He went and took a team with him, and the blessings that come through were astounding. We saw people come to the Lord, we saw people freed from sin, and people invite the Holy Spirit into their hearts. Now, near the end of the time, Harold was attacked by a dog, and he was knocked over and broke his hip. He was hospitalised for the last week of the time there, and in a Ukrainian hospital, it was a fairly serious condition. But we were in a very remote part of the Ukraine where Harold was attacked by the dog. We were 400 kilometres from where we stayed, and so it was a 7-hour trip on rough roads back home. Harold with a broken hip, severely lacerated leg, and I did not hear him complain once. Can you believe that? 81-year-old, seven-hour drive with a broken hip. No, he was only thinking of how he was putting us out and that we won't get into the next meeting to expound God's word. Fantastic. Also, he was in the Ukraine and in the hospital in Uzhgorod for a week before he was flown out to Vienna and there developed pneumonia. He was operated on, the operation was a success, but there developed pneumonia from having lack of medical attention in the Ukraine and passed away on the 2nd of September and has gone home. For the rest of us, we just came back to Australia, but Harold's gone home. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Now, if ever there's a... this man was just an example. I mean, Christ tells us, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily. And what a fantastic example it was to me. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to leave you with that this evening. And thank you all for listening.
Thanks to you very much for that, Lenny. I'm sure that each of us feel that Harold will definitely be missed. A man who served the Lord so faithfully. I've got to get my program. We're going to ask our brother Trevor Bray now if we would take us to the Lord in prayer in regard to what we've heard from Bill Callister and Sandra and also from Len McInnes. So we thank you, Trevor.